thing I want to tell you straight away, the preparation for this talk today wasn't easy for me, because I will talk about a topic I'm struggling with myself quite a bit. So I want to tell you that right away, because it might be a topic that is difficult for you as well. And if it is so, we're in the same boat. I'm still working on it, and that's fine. So what is the topic of today? Actually, we're starting with a new series of topics. Today we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. And I think you all know it, but if you don't know it, here it's on the screen. It's Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. I think most of you have heard that before. If you haven't heard it before or you don't know it, that is a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. He said that is how you can pray to God. And you can find it in the Bible in Matthew chapter 9, verse 6 and following. And yeah, I don't know if it's the same here in England, but in Austria, really nearly everybody knows this prayer or has at least heard of it. And my church in Austria is a very traditional church, so every Sunday it was part of the service that the whole congregation had to stand up and everybody had to say the prayer together. And many weeks I was standing there among everybody else and just saying this prayer without really thinking about it, because it just got a routine. And so I think it's really good that we take a closer look at it over the next weeks. And we start today with the beginning of it, when it says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I think that is a really, really cool start into a prayer, because we learn what kind of relationship God wants to have with us. We should not call him Lord or Master. We can call God our Father. That is amazing. It shows he wants a deep and close relationship with us. But there's also a little difficulty with it. There is only one Jesus in our life. There is only one Holy Spirit. But there is another Father in our lives. And I think that our fathers have a big influence on how we see God. Because as soon as we hear God our Father, we already have a picture in mind of what a father is like and, yeah, behaves. And sometimes without us wanting, we can put this picture we have of a father unto God. And that is what I want to talk about today. In what way do we think God is like our earthly father, but he isn't, because he's God and he's perfect, and our fathers are humans and therefore not perfect. And I'm very aware that all of us in this room have different daddies and therefore different experiences with fathers. Maybe you have a really good and great relationship with your dad. Maybe it is a bit difficult. Maybe it is really difficult. Or maybe you don't even know who your father is. No matter what your experience is, I tell you what I don't want to do today. I don't want to dishonor your dad. I don't want to talk about how bad all our fathers are. Today is about making us aware that our fathers are not perfect. And therefore, yeah, they shape our picture we have of God, our Father. I think a good point to start with is looking at what a perfect father looks like. When we understand how it should be, then we might have a better understanding of where maybe we have a wrong picture of fathers. So let's have a look at a perfect father-child relationship. And that would be between God and Jesus, because God is the only perfect father and Jesus is his son. So that is a good point to start. And in the Bible, we find two passages where we hear God speaking directly with Jesus or about Jesus. The first one is at his baptism. Jesus is getting baptized by John the Baptist, and as he gets out of the water, the heavens open, the Holy Spirit, looking like a dove, comes down and rests on Jesus, and then we hear God speaking. And what does he say? He says, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." That are great words. I love that. And there is a second passage that is at Jesus' transfiguration. It is a bit later in Jesus' ministry, and he takes three of his disciples up a mountain, and there his appearance changes. And suddenly he starts to shine like the sun, and Moses and Elijah, two persons out of the Old Testament, so they're long dead, appear, and Jesus is talking with them, and again, we hear God's voice. And what is he saying? "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." So two times we have God speaking with his son, or about his son, and it is nearly exactly the same. Only the second time he adds something. So I think that shows that he's saying something really important here, and that he's showing some core values that should be in a father-child relationship. In preparation for this talk today, I read a book of, Dave Patti. The book is called Father God, Daring to Draw Near. There it is. It's a good book, so if you want to learn more about this whole topic, I can recommend it. But he is also taking a look at these two passages and what God is saying. And he says that God is giving his son four gifts in these words. And he thinks that these four gifts should be something all fathers should give their children. So what are these gifts? The first gift we find in the words, "This is my son." God is reminding Jesus of his identity. We see that on the next slide. The next one. Yes. So God is giving Jesus his identity, or he reminds him of it. When we were younger, or at least it was so for me, I had the thought, when my daddy is important, I must be important too. So we base a lot of our identity on who our fathers are. And God is reminding Jesus, "You're my son." And that gives him quite a good identity, I think. He is God's son. The next gift we get is love. Yeah. Because God simply says, "This is my son whom I love." And I think we all know that fathers should give their children love. That is one thing every child needs. The third gift is pleasure. Because God is saying, "With him I am well pleased." And when does God tell that to Jesus? At his baptism, Jesus hadn't even started his ministry yet. He didn't do anything, and still God is well pleased with him. Not because of the things he does, but simply because Jesus is his son, and he is well pleased in his son. And the last gift we get is not as obvious. We find it in the words, "Listen to him." Listen to him. God is assuring Jesus of his place. When the Almighty God is telling us we should listen to Jesus, that gives Jesus a place of authority, and it assures Jesus of his role and his purpose here on earth, and he knows my purpose and my place is to lead people to God. They should listen to me. That is what I'm here for. So God assures Jesus of his place. So here we have four gifts God is giving to Jesus: identity, love, pleasure, and place. And all these gifts, they leave an imprint on a heart, on Jesus' heart, and also when our fathers give us these gifts, they leave an imprint. So when we have a good understanding of our identity, we have a sense of value. Because when we know who we are, when we know what our identity is based on, and that our identity is based in God, we know about our value, and we know how precious we are. When we know about the love a father has for us, that gives us security. At least for Jesus, it was when he was facing opposition, it didn't destroy him or tear him down, because he always knew, my father loves me, and that is all that is important. when we have an idea of pleasure, then, so when we know somebody's pleased in us, that gives us a healthy motivation. Because we don't do things to earn pleasure, but we want to do things because we know somebody's already pleased in us and we just want to make them proud. Here we have motivation is imprinted on our heart. And the last one is place gives us honor. As I said, God is telling Jesus his role, his place, and that gives him honor because he knows for that, I'm not here on earth for nothing, but I have something to do. I have the honor to do something. So here we have the Father's heart. That is how I call it. That is the four gifts God is giving Jesus and the four imprints it leaves on his heart. And I think that all our fathers should give us the same gifts. They're important in our lives and they should give us identity, love, pleasure, and a place. But as I said before, our dads are not perfect. And they can give us these gifts. They can give us all of them, but they will never be able to give us all of that in all its fullness. Our fathers can also give us wounds when they do things that hurt us, that are wrong, or they can also leave vacuums in our hearts when they just don't do the things they should do. I want to give you an example out of my life and then, why it's a bit difficult for me to talk about it. So when I was younger, I was very aware of the identity I had through my dad. So I grew up in Austria, my mom is from Austria, but my dad is from Germany. So I was half German, and as a child, I was really proud of it. Like, I was different, I was a bit special. That was because of my dad. And I was proud of it. And I loved all the things my dad and I had in common. I remember a day when we both sat on the floor and I realized we had our legs crossed in the same way. And I was excited because I thought, wow, we have something in common. That's so cool. Yeah, and I was a daddy girl. So whenever I had the choice if I should sit next to my mom or my dad, I would choose my dad, clearly. But that all changed a bit when I was 13. Because my parents got divorced and my dad moved out because my dad didn't want to live with my mom anymore. And suddenly, it didn't seem that good anymore to be my dad because he left us and he hurt my mom, he did hurt me and my brother, and I just felt I wanted to be like him. I still love him and he's still great, but not everything is perfect, it seems. And that had a big influence on my relationship with my dad, on my personality, and also on my relationship with God. Yeah. So my dad left this wound, and as I said, I think it's a lot about the identity part I just talked about. Because I see now in my life that I sometimes struggle to see my value in many things, and especially in my relationship with God, I don't understand that God doesn't leave me, but that God left everything to be with me. And I know so many things. I know that God sees me as valuable and as worthy, and I know it's the truth, but I just don't feel it sometimes. And I'm just struggling to trust in it because out of the experiences I had with my father. And I don't want to blame my dad for everything. As I said, that's not what it's about today. I just see the influence he had on me. And that is my goal for all of you today. I simply want that you're aware that your dad has an influence on how you see God the Father. Because our fathers can't fill all of these hearts. They can't give us all we need because they are not perfect. But God wants to be our perfect Father, and he wants to fill our whole heart with all he has for us. He says that in the Bible, he says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." We are God's children, like Jesus was, and Therefore, God wants to be our Father like he was for Jesus and wants to have the same close relationship. But I think sometimes we don't experience this love because we have the wrong expectations on God. And we're just shaped through the fathers we have. But I think there are three steps we can take to get closer to God and have a deeper father relationship with him. First of all, we have to be aware of the problem. And I hope that you are aware of the problem now. That is my goal for today, as I said. You should be aware that your father has an influence on you. But it's also up to you that you ask God in prayer and just ask, where do I have the wrong expectations? Where do I think you are like my dad, even if you're not? And I'm sure God will answer because he is the good father and he wants to have this relationship. So ask God in prayer where you have the wrong expectations. You can also pray with another person if you want. There will be a chance for that later as well. And after you have taken that step, some of us would just think, cool, now I'm aware of the problem, now the healing can start. But I think sometimes it's not that easy. I think sometimes first we have to clean our heart from the wrong expectations we have. Because if our heart is already filled with all these hurts and wounds and wrong expectations on a father, there's no space for God's love to come in. So the next step is cleansing, I don't know how to say it. So I think what you have to do in that step is just naming the things that you believe that are not true. For example, for me it would be, I know God loves me and I know I'm worthy, but I don't feel it. And so I say it's not true. And God, I want to repent from this lie I'm believing because I know you are greater than my expectations. Tell God in prayer of what you want to repent. Tell him what lies you believe that you don't want to believe anymore. And again, it's helpful when you pray with another person. And I tell you, it's a process. I'm in the middle of the process, so it doesn't change from one second to the other. That's, you are aware of it, then you pray for it, and suddenly everything is good. But God will start to work in your heart, and he will, piece by piece, will take out the wrong expectations you have in your heart. And piece by piece, he will fill it again with his love. And that is where the restoration starts and where the healing starts. God wants to fill us up with all his gifts, with love, pleasure, identity, and a place. His gifts are overflowing, and he really, really wants to give them to us. And that is the good news of this evening. God is our good father, and he wants that we experience it. He wants that we say, I have wrong expectations, but please fill my heart with all the things you have for me. Here I am, and I'm waiting for you. That's all it needs for God to start working in our heart. And he loves us so much, and he's so happy when we start to experience him as the good father he is. That's why he starts with our Father in heaven when we say the Lord's Prayer. He wants so deeply to have this relationship with us. So no matter where you are now, maybe you already have thoughts in your head where you know that is how my dad influenced me and that is how where I have a wrong view on God. Maybe you already know it. And then the next step is just praying about it and tell God what you feel and what you learn. There will be people praying later if you want. They will stand on the side. And yeah, just go to them and tell them how you feel. Or find a friend when you come with a friend. It's just important that you pray about it. And maybe you don't have an idea yet of how your father has influenced you. Then ask God in prayer and he will reveal what you should change, where you have wrong expectations. No matter where you are at now, it's a process. We're in the same boat. I'm still working on it. but I think we can expect great things of God because he wants to give us identity, love, pleasure, and place. And all it takes is that we take a step to him and tell him that we want to have him as our perfect Father. Amen.